and begin all things as we need to begin all things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Lord God, I just thank you for all the blessings that you pour out upon us. I thank you for the change of season, the newness that comes with the change of seasons. I thank you for calling us here together, allowing us to gather here together in your name. We know that where two or more are gathered in your name, you are there. We know that you are present here tonight. We just ask you to be with us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us as we begin this journey. We just thank you, Lord, for calling us here. We thank you for enabling us to be here tonight, for clearing our schedules, just for all the things that you do in our lives that have led us to this moment here tonight, Lord. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We just ask that you give me the lips of an angel, Lord. Allow me to be an instrument of your peace, to carry your word, to do your will. We just thank you, Lord, for all the blessings. We ask that you pour out blessings on those who wanted to be here tonight and could not be here. We just ask that you continue to pour out your blessings upon this community. Pour out your spirit upon this community that we might know your presence. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. I've always wanted to do that. I wanted to see what that was like on the receiving side. And you know what? It was kind of so-so. Stand up. Let's do that again. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Now I know I'm in a Catholic church. Have a seat. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. While we're giving thanks, we've given thanks to God. I also want to thank some people here before I get started. Maura and where's Marge? I know Marge is around here somewhere. And Candy and Nancy, who aren't here today. The staff here at St. John's, I need to thank for putting up with me as I ask, can you do this? Can you do that? Like they didn't have anything else to do on their schedules, and they've been very cooperative. Deacon Steve, Deacon Joe, Father Bacay, and most of all, I want to thank Father Bill. I know a little shockwave went through our community yesterday. I need to thank Father Bill. This whole program started because of Father Bill. He was talking to me early in the summer, and he said, you know, Frank, do you know of anything that could really get our adult faith group livened up here at St. John's? And I said, well, you know, I happen to have started this thing with Father Giles years ago out at St. Luke's, and it might just work. Can we get together and talk about it? So I got together with him. And he was excited. I mean, there was a thrill, there was a passion in his eyes when I first explained the program to him. And he said, yeah, we can do this. He said, if you will do this, this will be good. And so he's the one who gave me this opportunity and started this. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, I think we all saw, you know, those of us who were close to him saw that something was happening. We need to keep him in our prayers. He will be missed, And again, he is the reason that we've started this. He wants wonderful things for his flock. And I think when they were reading the letter yesterday, he talked about unreasonable expectations. And I'm sorry that he sees that as unreasonable expectations, but what it has is he just wanted the best. He wanted the best for his community. Not almost the best, but he wanted the best. And so we pray for him. He's struggling. He will get through this. And we've been through this before with Father Giles. And it's very difficult. But God has a plan, and that plan is good. And he takes care of those who love him. And Father Bill will be fine. Any of you who have dealt with people with depression and mental difficulties, you know that it's a struggle. But he's in good hands. Leave him in God's hands and everything will be okay. I also want to thank the team, the Carubias, the Weimers, the McCullies, the Swans, who aren't here yet. Some of you might know the Swans, but when they come back, they've offered to be a part of the team as we move forward in adult faith formation. Paul Tatora, is Paul here tonight? Paul's not here tonight. We can't get started. Go home. No. We've been praying for about 4, 5, 6 weeks, 6 weeks at least. We've been getting together and talking about adult formation, but most of all, we've been getting together to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Again, we had no idea who was going to come, who was going to respond to this call, but here you are, and we're very, very happy to be here. You have been in our prayers for the better part of the last month and a half, so thank you. Most of all, I need to thank this woman right over here, my wife. When I talked about Father Bill wanting everything to be perfect, me too. And when Father Bill invited me to do this, I immediately just started 120 miles an hour with blinders on, okay? I was so excited about doing this. And this happens to me every time I get an opportunity to do something like this. And my wife has put up with me for the better part of 10 years doing these things. We've been together for 35 years, but for the past 10 years, when I do these kind of things, whether it's a tech retreat weekend or RCIA or this, I go a little overboard, and you put up with me, and I thank you, and I love you. God bless you. She deserves a round of applause. Okay, are we ready to get started? Fantastic. Open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 15. No, really, go ahead. Open your Bibles up. Okay, now let's think about this for a second. Did anyone bring a Bible? Thank you. We have one. We know we're in a Catholic church. Adult faith formation, and tonight's topic would be divine revelation, and we have one Bible. Okay. We have some books up here, okay, that we're going to make available. I ordered 50 of these. We're going to need more, okay? This is the St. Joseph's edition, New American Bible, okay? I like it because it has big print. If you're young, don't worry about it. You're going to get there sooner or later, okay? It has big print. A lot of the things that I'm going to say during the next 3 weeks might sound a little radical. Okay, they're going to sound, is this Catholic? Okay, I have three primary sources. This Bible, which is a New American Bible. We want this Bible because it has all 47 of the Old Testament books, 46 of them, I'm sorry. The Catechism of the Catholic Church. Okay, again, get the big print one because your eyes are going to go bad sooner or later. Okay, and then there's another book that this is the book of the basic 16 documents of Vatican II. Most people have heard about Vatican II, but have never read the documents that came out of Vatican II. And I've got to tell you something, there's some really good stuff in here, okay? Everything that I've come to know about the Catholic Church, I know because I've been Catholic for 52 years, and I know from these three books. Okay? Now, yes, I've taken some classes here and there, and I Google, okay, Professor Wikipedia, but I always come back to these three books because this is where we find out what the Catholic Church really teaches. The Vatican II documents, these are things that, I mean, there's two of them that you really should read, Dogmatic Constitution on Divine Revelation and Dogmatic Constitution on the Church. What the Church teaches about Divine Revelation, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, and then what the Church teaches about the Church, that's what we're going to talk about next week. I have 10 of these available, 9 of them available, okay? They're free. Okay, I talked to Father Bill, and I got him to donate these books. These are all free. You can get all of them free. He said, how many do you need? I said, I want about 100 Bibles. I figured he'd order half. Okay, I said, I want 50 catechisms. I figured he'd order half. Well, so far we have 5 Bibles in, and we have 10 of these. Okay, the rest of them, they're going to come in tomorrow. You know they're going to come in tomorrow. All right, so if you want them, they're here for the taking, okay? I would encourage you, we have some envelopes up here, if you can and you would like to, if you could make a donation to the parish to cover the cost, okay? The Bibles are $10 a piece, the catechisms are $18, and the Vatican II documents are, let's say, $15. I don't know, but it felt like 15 compared to the other ones, okay? You can also find those online at the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, okay? They have, if you're an online person, they have the New American Bible, they have the Catechism, and they have all of the documents of Vatican II, okay? But you really need these, okay? Especially this one. My rule for Bibles, okay, you love your husband, do you share a toothbrush with him?
It's been known to happen.
Okay. One Bible for every toothbrush in your house. This is your Bible, okay? You need to take it with you. If you have a toothbrush in your office and a toothbrush at home, get a Bible for your office, okay? One Bible for every toothbrush. Make this thing connect to you, okay? As far as catechisms go, one per every household, all right? You don't need one. I mean, it's a reference book. You're not going to sit down and read the catechism, but it's a marvelous, marvelous reference, okay? And you really should have one in your home. And then when your kids start to move away, you know, you love your kids, right? And so when they go away to college, what do you get them? A coffee pot? Ooh, that's love. Okay? Get them a catechism. What message does that send to them? It says, hey, this is important to me and I love you. I want you to take this with you. All right, get them the coffee pot too. That's fine. But I think the catechism's going to stick around a little bit longer. Okay? Newlyweds. They're going to move into a new house. They got a catechism yet? I don't know. Let's make sure they do. Why? Because we love them. Okay? Hopefully they already have their Bible. If they don't, get them a Bible and a catechism. Okay? That's how our children learn that we love them. My son, our youngest son, Stephen, was getting ready to go over to Italy just a couple months ago. And he had everything packed and he's ready to go. And I said to him, I says, you have your Bible? He says, Dad, they got Bibles over in Italy. I said, Stephen, it's not your Bible. He says, oh, Dad. So I got real quiet. But you know darn well that I went upstairs, I got his Bible, and I stuffed that in that bag, right? You know that I did because I love him. We get out to the airport, and you're only allowed 50 pounds in your bag on your check-in, right? And we put it up there, 54 pounds. I'm saying, oh, man, this is going to get really ugly because, you know, Stephen's going to see that I jammed the Bible into his thing, and he's going to get mad. So he starts taking stuff out. And I didn't put it in very far. I mean, I just, you know, lifted something up and put it under there. God hid that Bible. He got 4 pounds of stuff out of that suitcase and never saw the Bible until he got over to Italy. And it was, thanks, Dad. Okay, you love your kids. You got to let them know that you love them. Okay, let them know what's important to you because they learn from that, huh? Okay? Okay. Again, they're free for the taking. We only have a few of them here tonight. There's a sign-up sheet over there. Okay? I encourage you to take advantage of this, even if you pay for them, and I encourage you to pay for them because Tim Saab would probably be climbing the walls right now if I told him that everyone can get free books here. All right? If you can donate, okay, please do. But I want people who want a Bible, who don't have a Bible, okay, I want you to make sure that you leave here with a Bible. Okay? If nothing else happens other than I give away 40 or 50 Bibles, we've done okay, if you use them. Okay? And the catechism. So there's a sign-up sheet over here. Put down how many you want, and make sure you put an email and a phone number on there so that I can track you down, okay, because we are going to make sure that we get them in, and I will get them in your hands. Hopefully we'll have them by next week. I was praying really hard for them to get here today. I know Marge was praying really hard, and they just didn't come. It's God's plan, okay? So we had to do a sign-up sheet. That's okay. There's good reason for it. I don't know what it is yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. Okay. Are we ready now? Okay. Mark, Bob, if you can switch, go ahead. Mark 15. I kind of figured there wouldn't be too many Bibles here. So, Mark 15, 21. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the countryside, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. One verse. The richness of the Bible is incredible. What do we know about Simon? Just from this one verse. He's from Cyrene. He's a Cyrenian. What the heck is that? Does anybody know where Cyrene is? Tunisia. What is it today? Northwestern Libya. Go ahead, Bob. See down here, this is really high tech. I downloaded this. I'm so proud of myself. And I wrote Cyrene in red there. That's my handiwork. Okay? Cyrene is right about there. And then if you look over to the right, to the far right, you see Israel. Cyrene's about 900 miles. Okay? That's a pretty long way to go. Back in the day, people didn't travel 900 miles, just, I think we're going to take a trip to Jerusalem, okay? He was probably Jewish, okay, a devout Jew, because he either moved him and his family to the Holy Land, or he was there on a pilgrimage for Passover, okay? One of the two, but either way, he's a pretty devout Jew. Go ahead to the next slide, Bob. And the next one. Click again. Okay, he was a foreigner in a distant land. He was journeying 900 miles. Go ahead. Relocated or a pilgrim at Passover. We don't know that. Okay, most scholars believe that he was probably on the pilgrimage because you're supposed to, once in your lifetime, you're supposed to go to the Holy Land to celebrate Passover, and it was the time of Passover. Okay? Other people speculate that he had relocated because he was coming in from the fields. So he may have been working in the fields. And if he was working in the fields, he probably lived in Jerusalem. Okay? But most scholars believe that he was a pilgrim. Either way, he was a devout Jew. Okay? Either way, he was either there on pilgrimage or he moved his entire family to the Holy Land. So he's a devout Jew. He took his faith very seriously. Bob? We know that he took up Christ's cross and he followed, okay? In Luke's gospel, in Mark's gospel, Matthew's gospel, it just talks about him carrying Jesus' cross. In Luke's gospel, Luke talks about he followed in Jesus' footsteps, okay? Luke is all about disciples. And so when you read the gospel of Luke, you're going to hear a lot, pick up your cross and follow me, okay? And in Luke's gospel, he's actually following. walking in Jesus' footsteps. He's helping Jesus carry the tail end of the cross, the bottom of the cross, walking in Jesus' footsteps. Okay? Very close contact with Jesus, huh? Okay? He encountered Jesus. A very close encounter with Jesus. What else do we know? The last thing, he taught his children about Jesus. Okay? How do we know this? Mark is writing to an audience. Okay? We don't know who the audience is. But the people that he was writing to must have known Rufus and Alexander. Otherwise, why did Mark put it in there? Okay? You know, Simon, the Rufus and Alexander's kid. Oh, that's Simon. I get it. Okay? And from that, we also know, if those kids were known to the community, we know that Simon taught his children about Jesus. He had a conversion, okay? Simon had a conversion when he encountered Jesus. And instead of teaching them about his devout Jewish heritage, he taught his children about Jesus. And they became disciples of Jesus. That's a pretty powerful thing, okay? Let me give you an example of this. You guys know George and Pat? No. You know George and Pat, Mara's parents? Is your parents' names George and Pat? Oh, darn it. What's their names? Will and Pat. I was close. Will and Pat. Now, if I tell you, do you know Will and Pat, Mara's parents? All of a sudden, you know something about Will and Pat, huh? Because we know Mara. Mara's a part of our community. She's our campus ministry person. She's a pretty good young person, huh? You think she just got that way by herself? Or do you think Will and Pat had something to do with it? I'm guessing Will and Pat had something to do with it. Same thing with Rufus and Alexander's parent, okay? Simon, Rufus and Alexander's parent, he taught his children about this man, Jesus. There was something special there, and he passed that knowledge on. This little passage is what adult faith formation is about. Okay, I've just started taking a class in July on adult faith formation. Okay, you guys aren't getting your money's worth yet because I'm just starting to take the class now. A year from now, I'll be even better. Okay, but right now, I'm learning all these things about adult faith formation. I've kind of had a pretty good idea about them. But this passage, when I started learning about adult faith formation, this passage came to me immediately. Because Simon of Cyrene was devout in what he did. He happened to be Jewish, but he was devout. He was a good man. Okay? He had an encounter with Christ, a very powerful encounter with Christ, and it changed his life. And then he began to evangelize. Through his children, we know that. We don't know that he evangelized to anyone else, but we know that he evangelized his children. This is what's important about adult faith formation, that we go through this same process. I'm going to give you some information that isn't one from one of these three sources. It's from the class that I'm taking right now. Adult faith formation, like Simon of Cyrene, is about a faith journey. You're all on a faith journey. Okay? You journeyed here today. For some reason, something called you and said, hey, I want to be here today. Okay? This is part of your faith journey. And we're all on one, and we're on different steps of that faith journey. We just happen to be joining here today. But adult faith formation is about people who are on a faith journey. And again, we're all at different stages of that journey. Go ahead. It's about a conversion experience and a personal relationship with Jesus. Okay? This doesn't sound Catholic. I'm going to get back to this, but we've heard this personal relationship with Jesus. We've just heard it in some of the Protestant denominations, huh? Okay? I'm going to get back to this because this is one of the sources, the source things that I think is very important for Catholics to hear. Okay? But in this document that I'm reading, and the document's called Our Hearts Were Burning Within Us. Our Hearts Were Burning Within Us. I cite it in a minute. OHWB. Okay, it was put up by the Catholic bishops, and it's a very powerful document that talks about here's what adult faith formation is supposed to be in our lives and in our parishes. But it talks about the goal Okay, the goal of adult faith formation is to establish and encourage this conversion experience and this personal relationship with Jesus. That sounds very Christian to me, but not necessarily Catholic. But this really is Catholic, okay? A personal relationship with Jesus. And then I love this thing. It described what a mature adult faith is. It's like this is, you know, when we get to this point, we know that we're a mature adult faith. And then throughout these three qualities, living, explicit, and fruitful. And I have to dive into these because this was, as I'm reading this, it's like, wait a minute, do Catholics know this? Has anyone told Catholics that we're supposed to be this when we grow up? Okay, go to the next slide, please. A living faith. Searching, seeking understanding. A lot of people think that a mature adult faith would be done. We've hit the pinnacle. We've gotten there. We've learned everything that we have to know. We're done. Doesn't work that way. A mature adult faith is a faith that's continually learning, continually seeking, because we're never going to fully understand God. We're never going to fully understand the glory of salvation until we get there. And when we're there, we will come face to face and we'll know. But before then, we can only imagine, huh? So we're continually seeking and understanding. And it's a recognition that we are, as a church and as individuals, at the same time, holy and in constant need of purification. Okay, how can you do that? I remember hearing once that John Paul II went to reconciliation every day. I don't even go to reconciliation every day. What the heck's this guy doing? Okay? He was holy, but in constant need of purification. His relationship with God was such that he needed every day to be called closer to God. He had some pretty awesome responsibility. Okay? A mature adult faith will be living. It's constantly striving. It's not dormant. Okay? Once we get dormant, bad things happen, huh? Okay, just like with life. Okay, with life, we need to keep active. When we stop being active, what happens? We get very stale. Our faith is the same way. Okay, mature adult faith doesn't stop, it keeps searching. Bob? Conscious and aware of the power of sin. I hate this part, okay? But we have to be aware that there is sin in the world, okay? I like to overlook this. I'm a feel-good Catholic. Okay, we had an argument at our Tuesday night prayer group talking about evil in the world and sin. And I hate to focus on sin. But it's there, and we need to recognize that it's there. Okay, I choose to look at the good side all the time. Okay, but we have to sit back and recognize that sin is what it is. There is sin in this world. And all we need to do is look out in the streets, look at the newspaper, watch the television any night, okay? A mature adult faith doesn't get all caught up like I do and say, no, there's nothing bad out there, I'm just going to focus on the good. A mature adult faith takes the blinders off and says, yes, there is sin out there. And we need to be aware of it, and we need to battle it. We need to be prepared for it in our lives. We need to prepare our children for it, okay? You need to face the facts. It's out there. Again, Bob? A mature adult faith, a living faith, longs for the fulfillment of eternal life. Do your children know that your primary objective as a parent is to get them to heaven? Have you told your children that? Do you know that? Okay? That our goal is to make sure that our kids get to heaven. My goal is to make sure my wife gets to heaven, and her goal is to make sure that I get to heaven. We need to strive for that eternal life. Eternal life is what gives us hope. If this is all we have, as good as this may be, we don't have hope because it's going to end. Eternal life is what we have to strive for. And that's why we will continue to search and seek understanding, because I think that somewhere a few years ago, I caught a glimpse of heaven and it was magnificent, okay? But I need to continually long for that. And I do, okay? That's a living faith. Let's go to the next one, explicit. This one's going to shake you up. Okay, this is the Catholic bishops telling us this. Now, I'm not making this up. Okay, go ahead. It's rooted in a personal relationship with Jesus. I saw those words. It's like, wait a minute, this isn't Catholic. We don't talk like that. Yes, we do. Okay? It's rooted in a personal relationship with Jesus. Lived in a Christian community. There's no comma after that. That's all one sentence. I had to break it up into bullet points because I was putting it on PowerPoint. But this is to some degree what differs the Catholic Church from a Christian church. You know, I don't know how many of you have been asked before, have you been saved? Do you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And if the end of that question is, I mean, if it's yes and that's the end of it, okay, that's a good start. The Catholic approach to this is rooted in a personal relationship with Jesus, lived out in a Christian community. You can't just have this personal relationship with God, and that's the end of it. Okay? We have a purpose, and that purpose is to live out that life, that personal relationship with God, in a Christian community. Whether it be our parish, whether it be our small faith community, it's living it out in Christian community. Okay, that's kind of what sets Catholics apart. And I don't think it really sets Catholic apart. I think other Christians also believe that we need to do this in community. I have to be careful because sometimes I talk about things that I don't know about. Okay, and I'll try not to do that. I don't have a lot of experience with other denominations. I'm cradle Catholic. But I know that what we're teaching is you need a personal relationship with Jesus lived out in a Christian community. Oh, I love this one. Radically Trinitarian. I didn't make up those words. Radically Trinitarian. What in the world does that mean? Okay? It means in communion with each of the divine persons. Now, this is not mainstream Catholic. Okay? Because mainstream Catholic, we got God the Father down pretty good, right? Creator of all heaven and earth, yada, 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 yada. We got the Jesus thing down really well. But that Holy Spirit, okay, that Holy Spirit, that's for the Pentecostals. Okay? I want you all to remember that a bishop, one of the apostles, laid his hands on you and said, be sealed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Every one of you has been given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You've been using them? Or you've just been kind of holding on to them? I think of this as like, you know, you get a Christmas present or something, and you're always looking for the big boxes and stuff, right? And you get a card, and you don't really look at the card. You just kind of push the card aside. And let's say that card had a $100 bill in it. And that card just kind of got swept to the side for years and years and years and years and years. And then one day you're cleaning out some stuff, an old drawer, whatever, and you come across this card, and you open it up. There's a $100 bill in there. You're going to use it, or are you going to put it back in the card and put it back in the drawer? I'm going to use it. I'm going to enjoy it, huh? The gifts of the Spirit are the same way. You were given those gifts when the apostle, the bishop, laid hands on you, anointed you, and gave you those gifts. He empowered you the same way that Jesus Christ empowered the apostles. They used those gifts. We need to use those gifts. We have them, okay? But for Catholics, I don't know. We get very timid when it comes to the Holy Spirit, okay? I've been involved with a charismatic Catholic group for how long, Bob? Oh, longer than that. I was up the friary before that. I still don't pray in tongues, okay? I haven't healed anybody. I haven't, you know, I don't do anything that's abnormal, but do I have gifts? You better believe I have gifts. I'm Catholic. Every Catholic is charismatic, whether you agree to it or not, because every Catholic is gifted. We just have to use them, okay? Some Catholics like to get involved with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, okay? And that's fantastic. It's beautiful. Some, no, we're not quite there yet. That's okay too, but you're still gifted And you have to figure out what that gift is and use it in that Christian community. Okay? Radically Trinitarian, not kind of Trinitarian, radically Trinitarian. We have to understand what that is. Okay? We have to come to know what that is. What's next, Bob? Connected to the life, teaching, and mission of the church. Okay? Again, this gets back to the lived in a Christian community. We need to be connected. We are part of the church. And if you're not active in that church, the church isn't whole. Okay? One body, many parts. Paul talked about that a few times. Okay? Each part put into the body exactly as he had intended. Go ahead. Do we have another one there? Confident. Confident is not arrogant. Let's not get that confused. I remember a couple summers ago, I was walking in, and there was a evangelical preacher up there, and he was telling all the kids that they were going to hell and, you know, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, you're hurting my kids. And so I decided to get into a debate with them. And after about a half an hour, there were two madmen yelling at each other on the street corner. Wasn't that bringing people into the church, huh? Confident, but humbly joyful in your faith, okay? Not jumping into somebody and saying, I'm right and you're wrong. I was so embarrassed. And when I still think back on that, okay, I was not living a matured adult. I was living a very immature faith. Who's I'm right, you're wrong. Humbly joyful in your faith. Okay? If any of you know Bob Carubia, every time I read this line, I say, that would be Bob. Okay? Humbly joyful in your faith. Okay, let's move on to a fruitful faith. A fruitful faith enjoys the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, for you who have your Bible. You win, by the way. Galatians 5, this is one of my many second favorite passages in the Bible. How many of you want to live like this? These are fruits too, by the way. These are different than gifts. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are, am I on the right track? Father Jude, you know, I used to go to Father Jude, and I used to ask Father Jude, am I on the right track? He said, Frank, look at the fruits. How are the fruits? And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he says, how is your life playing out right now? That's your fruit. You do things, and it causes things to happen. You fertilize a tree, and then it gives fruit. If it's good fertilizer and it's good nourishment, you get good fruit. Okay? So here's the test for me. Okay? The look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did you get all those?
No,
all right. It's Galatians 5, starting at 22. Those are nice. Now, here's the test. Right before those are the things of the flesh. Okay? You don't need to count. I mean, you can count, but don't tell me how many of these you do. You ready? Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outburst of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. There's 14 of them. At one point, I thought I was 13 for 14, and then I found out what licentiousness meant, and I realized I got all 14 of them. Okay? Galatians 22, it's my measuring stick. It's my barometer. How are you doing, Frank? Well, let's see. Did I get mad at somebody today, and did I have hatred? That's the flesh. Was I patient, kind, loving, caring? That's the Spirit. Okay? A mature adult faith will enjoy the fruits of the Spirit. Bears the fruits of justice and compassion. This is where service comes in. Okay? We need to be active. We need to have justice. We need to seek justice. We need to have compassion. Okay? Those are fruits of the Spirit. And finally, this is a big one too, bears the fruit of evangelization. Evangelization, that's not a Catholic word, is it? Yes, it is. We have a purpose. Our purpose is to spread the gospel. Why did God make us Catholic Christians? He needed a big group. No, he made us Catholic Christians to spread the word. And that's being fruitful. We can't be a matured adult in our faith if we are not evangelizing in one way, shape, or form. St. Francis said, evangelize always, and if you must, use words. Right? For some of it's just living your life. Living your life in a Christian way. So that someone someday will come to you and say, why are you happy? What makes you happy? I'm miserable. Why are you happy? And then if you have that opportunity, it's time to sit down humbly and confident and tell them about your faith. Okay? And share that faith with them. That's evangelizing. We don't have to stand on the street corners. If you're called to stand on the street corner, stand on the street corner. Some of our brothers in the other Christian denominations do a wonderful job doing that. Okay, and I always think about the one part many body or one body many parts, that it's their job to bring them in and our job to hug them. Okay, to let them know that they're loved. But we need all of that. Evangelization's a big part of it. What do we have next? I don't even know. Oh, this is important. Because I think this breaks down some stereotypes of Catholics. Don't get too proud of yourself when you're matured, when you reach this point, you think, okay, I met all those things that Frank said we had to be. Okay? Mature faith recognizes that however great or modest our competence or accomplishments, God's favor is always a gift and a grace. It's always a gift and a grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is a gift from God. There's one young man that I'm still working on. He's my longest project so far. It's probably been about 5 years. He was born, raised Catholic, stopped going to church, and he said to me one day, he says, Frank, he says, I believe that faith is a gift, and I wasn't given that one. And I wanted to hit him, but I haven't yet, and I'm just going to keep working on him, okay? Faith is a gift. And we've been given that gift. We've been called to be baptized Catholic. Okay, we're here. Or baptized Christian. Okay? We've been called to do something. All right? And that is a gift from God. Our job is to be stewards. Right? Well, our job is to be stewards of those gifts. Okay. This one just blew me away. Adult faith formation is essential to who we are and what we do. This is the Catholic bishop saying this. Okay? Adult faith formation is essential to who we are and what we do as church and must be situated not at the periphery of the church's educational mission, but at its center. Everything that we do in religious education should come from adult faith formation. Do we do that here? Do we do that at any parish? No, we don't. Our education system, our religious education system, focuses on the children. Okay? We've done it for years. And for some time, it actually worked when we had every parish had a school. Okay? We did. We educated all of our kids. We at least made them memorize the Baltimore Catechism, huh? They didn't necessarily understand it, but we had them memorize it, every single one of them. Okay? But then we stopped having all the schools, and we're missing. There's a huge gap right now in the Catholic Church. Relating to passing on our faith. Okay? Now, this sounds very new, doesn't it? This whole thing about adult faith formation, because we haven't heard much of this. Does this sound relatively new? Yes? No? Okay, let's see. The first time this was mentioned was in the General Catechetical Directory in 1971. The Vatican came out with this and said, adult faith formation needs to be our focal point. The Catholic bishops picked up on that in 1979. They issued a document called Sharing the Light of Faith, 1979. It took us 8 years to get up to the Vatican. The Vatican then updated it with the Adult Catechesis and Christian Community in 1992. They didn't wait for the bishops. They issued the General Directory of Catechesis in 1998. And this document that I'm studying right now, Our Hearts Were Burning Within Us, USCCB, 1999. You think it's time? I know the Catholic Church moves slowly, okay? I appreciate that sometimes because we need stability. We need to make sure before we jump through the hoop. 1971, was when we started this process. I am so proud of Father Bill for taking the step to start this in this parish. Okay? It's the right thing to do. I don't know where it's going to go in this parish, but I have great hopes for it. Okay? Because I really do believe, I mean, it just makes sense. If the parents are on board, the kids will follow, huh? It's like that sticking the Bible in your kid's bag to make sure that he knows this is important to you. He or she knows this is important to you. Okay? Kids learn from what we tell them. Good or bad, they learn from it. Okay? That's what adult faith formation is about.